We are in a series called CrossFit. In this series, we have the Word. This week, I'll be talking about giving. And then we will have Chrissy doing prayer next week. She's our prayer guru. And we will be talking about fasting when we lead into our prayer and fasting week. Okay? If we look at the whole four topics that we talk about, the Word, giving, prayer and fasting. And as I was looking at that four topics, and Pastor Rachel was saying, Alfred, why don't you do giving? I said, okay, I'll do giving. And I was looking at it, I was thinking, I can understand why Word, I can understand prayer, I can understand fasting. Because, you know, CrossFit, it's about exercising yourself so that you can gain something, right, Victor? Why do people join your program? It's because they want to be fit. They want to look good. Sometimes I wonder if the people lose weight, but they look the same, will they still continue to do their CrossFit? Would they? I don't know. something to think about. But when you look at the Word, prayer and fasting, it's something that we exercise, and it benefits us, right? You spend your time in the Word, you become more spiritual. You gain more from God. You pray, you connect with God. You fast, you seek God. What about giving? Let me put it this way. If I give you a car, who benefits more? Is it you or me? I think it's you that benefits, right? Because you get to drive the car and I loses the car. Well, unless somebody else gives me a brand new car. But you see, in the Word, the prayer and fasting, not the beneficial is the person. But in giving, why did God inspire our pastor to put giving as a topic in CrossFit in this series? Maybe, just maybe, that giving will actually benefit us. Let's take a look at our scripture for today. In Psalms 37, verse 21 to 26, the wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever leading generously, and his children become a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that God, that you are here. Even as a time of worship, O Lord God, Father, you have directed our focus back to you and not to ourselves. And this time also, Lord God, I pray, Lord Father, that our focus will be on you, Lord God. I pray, Lord Father, that you anoint my words, that you speak to us individually and not corporately, O Lord God, Father, that God, that the purpose of this message is so that we know that you're the source of everything. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Psalms 37 was written by David, King David, when he was older. Right, he didn't write the Psalms when he was young and when he was doing his thing. He wrote this when he was older. So the context of Psalms 37, actually, you can actually trace it back to 1 Samuel 25. Okay, take a note of 1 Samuel 25. I don't have it here on the projector, the whole chapter, but I'll paraphrase the whole story for you. Okay? So when David was writing his Psalms, he was thinking back about this situation in his life, okay? There's a time in the life of David when he and the mighty man was running away from Saul, all right? Saul was the current king during that time. David was not the king. And Saul knew from God that David would replace him. So he was jealous. So he started to hunt David, and David was running with his men away from Saul. So David and his men was running, and they came to a city called Carmel. Okay? It's a really, really interesting story. So if you have time, I really encourage you to go back and read it. When he stopped at this city called Carmel, they were just hiding, doing their stuff, right? There were a bunch of shepherds around them. Okay? So during that time, the custom was, if you are with the people that are around you, you're supposed to feed the people. Because the shepherds, they were, what do you call? Looking after the sheep. They bring their sheep to where David is and start shepherding them, I guess. So because they were there, so David was taking care of them. David was protecting them. All right, David was protecting them. They didn't take anything away from the shepherd, okay, because with David's strength and power and with all his mighty men, he could very well take any sheep that he wanted when he decides to have lamb chop for the night. But he didn't. He protected them. Even when the Philistine was walking through the city, okay, David protected the shepherds. There come a point where David's resources was running low, okay, because he was feeding his mighty men, and there are about 600 mighty men, okay, 600 of them. So David was feeding his own family, and on top of that was feeding the shepherds. So his resources was running low. And he found out that the shepherd's boss is actually quite a wealthy man, okay. So his boss name is called Nabal, or Nabal, depending on where you come from. I'm going to call him Nabal, because he sounds like Nadal. So, Nabal is a wealthy man. The Bible says he's a wealthy man, but he is quite harsh, quite rude, but he has a beautiful and discerning wife called Abigail. Right. So, here we have David as one of our characters in the story, Nabal as the boss that is actually quite harsh and rude, and Abigail, beautiful and discerning. So David sent his man to go and talk to Nabal. He said, hey, our resources are running low. Can you give us some? Because we have been taking care of your shepherds, you know. So maybe since I've been helping you out, you can help me out. But how did Nabal react? Nabal said, nah, I'm not going to help this guy. Who's this guy? Nabal not only rejected his request, he insulted David. Okay, he's like, some of the words that we cannot mention in church, and it's not shown in the Bible. You can use your imagination. But when David heard about that insult, he was angry. All right, he said, every man take up your swords. Well, not every man, 400 men, take up your swords and follow me. We are going to wipe them out and take everything. All right, so David was acting in his flesh. Right, maybe he was a little bit hungry. You know, we see some of the advertisement when guys are hungry, they do something stupid. So he was hungry, and then he said, let's pick up our sword and let's go and wipe out this family. So 400 men gathered their armors and stuff and then start marching towards them. And so one of the servants of Abigail heard about that. All right? He said, oh no, David is coming after our whole household. They're not just going to kill the family, they're going to kill us as servants too. So the servants went to Abigail. Hey, this is what your husband did to David. He insulted David, and now David is really upset. He's going to come after us. And then Abigail said, oh, okay, hang on. Let's pack some resources, make some braids. And she made a lot of fake cakes, if you read in the Bible. And I was salivating when I was reading that. So put it on the donkey. I said, let's go and meet David. You know, so she rode, and found David. So they meet halfway and told David, I'm so sorry, please forgive my servants, you know, and he buttered David up. You're the Lord's man, you know, don't do something stupid. Here are all the offerings, here are all our resources. Please spare our household. All right. So David heard about all those, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit inspired David and reminded David that, hey, you're actually sinning against God if you will kill the whole household. Okay? So David took a step back and said, okay, thank you for reminding me. Thank you for sparing me from this blood guilt. All right? So David took the resources and went back. So Abigail went home, You got to remember, Abigail had not told her husband yet. She just acted very quickly because of the urgency. And when you read the Bible, we actually found that the husband, Nabal, was actually having a party, getting drunk. On the next day, Abigail told the husband, "Hey, honey, you know, this is what I did." And the husband got a shock, went into a stroke. A few days later, died. True story. Read it from the Bible. So the husband died, and then David heard about what happened to the household. So guess what happened? David took Abigail as his wife and took care of the whole family. All right. So that's the background of the psalm in 1 Samuel 25 when David was writing this psalm. Okay. We talk about three main characters in this story. The first one was Nabal. All right. The first point that I want to bring to you all in your understanding is blessings come from the Lord. All right, blessing come from the Lord. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. But those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. When David made the request to Nabal, Nabal was actually given the opportunity to be a blessing. All right. To be generous. But, you know, as I was explaining the story, what happened? Nabal chose to insult David instead. So, when Abigail learned about the situation, she quickly acted on behalf of the husband. All right. Make no mistake. When God wants to bless someone, he's giving us the opportunity to be part of it. When we decide not to take that opportunity, we just missed out our opportunity to be the righteous disciple that Christ has called us to be. All right, but God's will still be done. Maybe it's just not through us. Okay, and I'm not talking about a time when we are stretched with our resources and somebody asks us to be a blessing. No, I'm talking about a time when we can actually be the blessing, but we'd say, "Nah, he's not worthy." Who is it to say that that person is not worthy? When God decides to bless someone, he will bless it. Whether you're going to take that opportunity to be part of that, it's up to you. Okay? Sometimes we may be like Nabal. You know, we want to make sure that when we give, we actually have something in return. We all hear of the phrase, the more you give, the more you receive, right? I don't know about you, but some of us may be thinking like, if I were to bless this missionary, what do I get in return? If I were to bless this family, what do I get in return? Okay, maybe you guys are not like that, but I was like that before. Let me tell you a story. A couple of years back, when we moved into our new house, you know, we bought a second-hand house, and we found out that this new house actually came with a fridge, and it was a bigger fridge, and my wife was saying, "Oh yeah, great, we have this fridge," and I was thinking, "Okay, what do we do with our old fridge?" Like what all Kiwis do, TradeMe.co.nz is the way to go, right? So I put it up on TradeMe. And my beautiful and discerning wife, like Abigail, she comes to me and said, there's this family that has about 4 kids and they are looking for a fridge. I said, great, I'll give it to him for $200. Make $200. I got my new fridge for free, you see. This fridge, I sell it for $200. She said, okay, all right. A few days later, we actually found out that the family couldn't afford $200. And my beautiful and discerning wife again came to us and said, do we want to give it for $200? I said, you mean sell it for $200? I said, no, maybe we can give. I was like, okay, I'll give. It looks like I'm very generous, right? I made the decision very quickly. Yeah, that family has 4 kids, and we'll bless that family. Let's give the fridge away. So the man came and picked up the fridge. Thank you very much. Give a good hug, and off he goes. And I was sitting on my deck, feeling very righteous. I gave my fridge away. And then I remember looking around. Nobody was there, and I remember telling God, so God, what's in for me? Awkward silence again. So what's in for me? What's my blessing right now? And then I start to think about all the things that I actually need. Say, maybe somebody can give me all this, because we just moved into a new house. You know, I would like the big 49-inch television and heat pumps all for my house. But God said, Alfred, let me just get it myself. Is it? Do you remember a couple of months back? Your dad had a stroke. Okay, your dad had a stroke, and he was admitted to the hospital. Okay, and the doctor came back to my brother and myself and said that to do that operation, he has to do a heart operation, and it will probably cost us about $300,000. So I was there, and I was thinking, okay. I was talking to my brother. We were not insured. So my brother and I was like, okay, where do we come up with all this money? You know, I went back, you know, I prayed. And just to cut the whole story short, my brother found there was a family friend that actually managed to get us into one of his hospital, and the whole operation only cost us $300 instead of $300,000. Okay, so it cost us $300, and my dad was taken out from the hospital. I prayed, but I didn't really connect that. And God was reminding me when I was sitting on my deck that day, you thought you have been a blessing, but I have already blessed you even before you asked for it. You see, Nabal thought that I need to give so that I get more. But he has forgotten that all his shepherds were taken care of by David. None of his sheep were lost. His shepherds were fed by David. They were protected. And sometimes we have this spirit that it almost seems like God owes us. But let me remind you, blessings come from our Lord. He has been blessing us even before we realize it. Right? Our next point. It's security comes from the Lord. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, but the Lord upholds his hand. There's a quote by John MacArthur, and I really like it. He says, giving is not God's way of raising money. It is God's way of raising children. Okay. When we exercise our spirit of giving, we are building our faith muscles and our dependence on God. God is reminding us that our faith is to be anchored in Him, not on our own resources. Okay. If we know that our security comes from the Lord, our emotions and how we approach life will be quite different. All right. When there's a life crisis, when there's a financial situation, when there's a family situation, right, when we lose our resources, it will not affect us because we know that our faith is anchored in the Lord. Our security comes from the Lord. You know, in that story, we see that David was actually trying to do things on his own when he's not getting the request that he wants. When he realized that Nabal has insulted him, has not going to give him what he asked for, he was going to attack that family. He was going to take matters into his own hand and to take possessions, right? How many of us, all right, we pray, but when the prayer is delayed or not answered, we decide to take things into our own hands. I have been guilty of that many times, right? Thankfully, I have some a beautiful and discerning wife, not someone, a beautiful and discerning wife, and also a group of men that is around me to always remind me, all right, anchor your faith in Christ, okay? As a Connect Group director, one of the privileges that I have was to go around different Connect Groups, visiting them when they were having their meeting, chatting with them as a couple, as a family, just seeing how they're doing, you know, how the group is doing. Contrary to some of your belief, I'm not just about the stats. I actually ask them how's their family, and I mean it. But I just want to honor a lot of our Connect leaders over here. They are serving the people week in and week out. Okay? And some of them, you may not know, I know, the pastors know, that their resources are stretched. They have situations in their family, just like all of us, you know, they go through tough times. They have financial challenges, children challenges, job situations, but they never shrink back. I can't even think of one Connect leaders that actually said, Alfred, no, I'm not doing it because of my financial challenges. In fact, sometimes I have to go on behalf of the church to actually bless them. I said, we need to actually help you out to run the group. But they actually never ask for it. They never have the spirit of entitlement that says, what is the church going to give me? What is the God going to give me back when I serve week in, week out? And many times my faith is enlarged because this Connect leader shows me that their faith is greater than their resources. All right? So thank you for those of you who are serving in this area. That security comes from the Lord. The final point that I want to make is posterity comes from the Lord. Let me get a drink. Excuse me. I have been young and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children beg for bread. He is ever lending generously and his children become a blessing. Posterity here means your future or your future generation. All right? We see that Abigail acted in faith, providing the resource that David needed. Okay? She knew that her husband would probably get upset when he finds out, but she acted in faith. By the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you know, she quickly do it. She did not worry about her future, as in she probably know when her husband finds out, she's going to get the wrath from her husband. Remember, her husband was rude and harsh. So he will probably show some scenes that we can't show in church, and it's not written in the Bible, but so that was her concern. Is that what's going to happen to me? And remember, during that time, the woman's welfare are all dependent on their husband. So if she act against her husband's will, all right, she's risking her own future or even endangering her own life. Now, I'm not giving permission to all the wives right now to go against your husband. That's not what I'm saying. That's not the context of this message, all right? You discern with the Holy Spirit and you discuss, all right? Because husbands, we are not rude and we are not harsh, right? We are good husbands, right? We listen and discuss with our wife. We don't just listen to our wives, all right? That's a myth, all right? I think the society has been bashing the man too much that we just listen to our wives. Nope. We listen and discuss with our wives. And in turn, our wife will submit to us. Not in my notes, but important point. But anyway, coming back to my message. So Abigail acted very quickly when she was prompted by the Holy Spirit. And she was not worried about her future. We know that God honored her during that time. Because when her husband actually passed away, God provided for her, took care of the future by asking David to marry her. Okay? So, I want to encourage you, church, that sometimes we can look at our budget, look at our spreadsheet, we may think that our resources are running low. But I want to encourage you, church, that do not shrink back on giving your time, giving your talent, and giving your treasure in serving God. See, a righteous disciple of Christ doesn't just love the word, doesn't just pray. They give their time, their talents, and their treasure. Okay? Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Okay? When God says, "Seek first," all other things will be added to us. That's what it is. That's the promise of God. Okay? So, when you're prompted by the Holy Spirit, may I dare even say it, do not disobey it and allow yourself to be the blessing. Okay? Time, talent, and treasure. In this today's topic, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about serving God with our time, the talent that God has given us also. Okay? I will finish up with one more story. Okay? One last story. I used to, back in Malaysia, I used to have a group of men that I was discipling. There's this one particular guy, his name is Mike. Some of us have met Mike before. Eh? Mike used to attend church when I was just a new Christian, but he backslided, you know. When he finished uni and when he started working, he backslided. He was lured by what the world has offered him. But after a couple of years, when he had a life crisis, he came back to the church. And during that time, the pastor was telling him, "Hey, why don't you come along to Manila with Alfred and I?" So we were going there for Asian Invasion, not World Conference or anything. That time it was Asian Invasion, way back Asian Invasion, okay? Stop guessing my age. But, you know, Mike was my roommate. Okay, and true to Malaysian style, what do you do in the middle of the night? You walk along the street to look for food to eat, right? So I remember very clearly in one of our conversations, while we are both enjoying our grilled bangus on a side street, Mike said to me, "I'm not really sure what talent I have to serve God." I was asking, "What do you mean?" He said, "You know, when you look at a conference, you look at the speakers, the dynamic, you know, they go rah, rah, rah. You look at the dancers, you know, they're really good. And you look at the singers, they're all really good, you know. They're all so talented. But Alfred, I have nothing. I don't know what I can give." So I look at him, I was like, "So what are you really good at, Mike?" He said, "Well, I'm good at making money." So I looked straight in his eyes and said, "Can we exchange our talent? Because I would like to have that talent, you know. I like to be good at making money." But he laughed and I laughed, and we never actually thought more about that, you know. But I did encourage him while I was finishing off my bangus. I did encourage him and say, "Hey, Mike, not many people have that talent making money. Okay, maybe God will use that. All right. If you allow yourself to serve and give in that capacity, maybe God will use it." I thought Lisa was coming. So fast forward, a few months later, you know, the church was raising some money for one of their projects. You know, they needed additional $20,000 to complete the cost of that project. And when I learned about that, I decided to ask Mike. You know, I felt it was the Holy Spirit prompting me to go talk to Mike. You remember that few months ago, that conversation you had with Mike? Go remind him about his talent. So I saw Mike in church one day. I said, "Hey, Michael." And he said, "Hi, Alf." And I said, "Remember our conversation a few months ago about your talent?" I said, "I felt the Holy Spirit was saying that maybe you can use your talent to find that $20,000 that the church needs." Mike was looking at me quite intently, quite awkwardly. You know, two guys staring, eyeballing each other. Awkward silence. And then his eyes started to sweat. I was like, "Oh no. Have I offended this guy? Did I say something wrong?" So I just stared at him like. He said he was praying for a $60,000 debt collection from one of his clients for a while. And he prayed to God. He told God that if he gets back that $60,000, he will honor God with it. Maybe he was thinking about just tithing, you know, the 10%. $6,000 tithing back. But when I told him about the $20,000, he felt the same prompting of the Holy Spirit. Give. He told me writing that check was one of the hardest things that he has to do. You know, he said, "I could use this money for a new car, a new fridge, something." But he wrote that check, $20,000. He gave it to the church. Now Mike is one of the most successful businessmen that I know. He owns 9 businesses. He helped a lot of young entrepreneurs. Not only himself is prospering. He helped a lot of young entrepreneurs who was just starting business to help them in their business. And on the last trip that I went back, I found out, not from him, but from somebody else, that he gave up to $500,000 for their building fund. You know, through that experience, Mike understood that his blessing comes from the Lord. Right? When he was struggling to give the check away, he has to remind himself that security comes from the Lord. And because of his faithfulness, his posterity comes from the Lord. I was sharing this with my discipleship group, the group of men that I was with. And I was really excited on that evening when I felt that I want to share the story to them. It is a good testimony. Do you all agree? Right? So I was sharing it to my group of men. But I was pretty surprised by the reaction of the group. I found that there were 3 responses to that testimony on that evening. Right. The first response was like me, you know, "Oh yeah, full of faith. Yeah, yes. Let's believe God. Let's believe God for it." But there were some guys that was just sitting there listening. He said, "Oh yes, Mike, good for you. What a great testimony." But nothing actually changes in their heart. nothing. They still was not affected by the faith, by the generosity that was portrayed by God. So those guys like, yeah, I'll cheer you on. I'll just stay the same. You know, when the opportunity present myself, I'll direct you to Mike. Okay? You need money? Go to see that guy. Instead of looking at ourselves and see how we can be the blessing. But there was one other guy. Well, it's fair to say that he's actually quite a young Christian. He was totally offended by the testimony. I was shocked. I thought, how can anyone be offended by that kind of testimony? But he was offended. He actually stood up, raised his voice, and said, "You guys are just trying to manipulate me to give more money." I was like, okay. You know, I was a young Connect disciple, a young Connect leader. I actually didn't know what to say. I said, "Oh, calm down, you know." I went back to my pastor, told him about that, and my pastor said, "Don't worry about it." Church, when you hear a message like this on giving, you have three types of responses that you can choose. All right? You can choose to be like some of us, you know, "Oh yeah, I'm all excited about it." Or you can be like the second group of guy that says, great sermon, great testimony. But when the need comes, he said, "Hey, go talk to Leo, go talk to Gani, go talk to Infe. I know this guy is pretty wealthy. Go talk to him." We forgot to look at our hands and say, "God, use it." Or you can be like the third group of person that says, "This is just another way that the church is getting the financial manager to give a sermon about giving so that we can give more." Nah. No matter how our responses are, I want all of us to close our eyes. Okay? Let's close our eyes. I'm going to take a minute or so and let God speak to you. Let God speak to your heart on how He wants you to respond.